Father, we thank you for our Savior Jesus. Lord, we thank you so much for the hope that we have in Him, that we have in Him alone. Lord, we thank you that we can gather together and sing praises to your name, proclaim these truths, and we pray that these truths be so evident in the way that we live our lives, that you are our God, that you are in control, that you and you alone sit on the throne. And Lord, we thank you for that truth, and we thank you that we can be here today, now, resting in the promises that you've given us in your word. Father, I pray that as we continue to worship you by opening up your word and seeing what it is that you have for us today, Lord, that you would just brighten our eyes, that you put a joy in our hearts. Lord, that you would encourage us and equip us for the week ahead of us. Lord, let us live our lives for you. Let us live our lives as a fragrant offering, a worshipful sacrifice to you. Thank you that you're good. Thank you that Jesus paid it all. Thank you that it is by his blood we are washed clean. Lord, we thank you that you are God and that you know us. You care about us. What a privilege that is. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. It's so good to be back. I am so thankful for Pastor Dave and Pastor Josh for preaching the word these last 2 weeks. So grateful for them. So grateful to be back with you guys. I have 2 weeks of sermon illustrations all stored up here. So I promise you, I will try not to to use them all today. But I do got to start off with one. So this road atlas, paper. We bought this right before we left for our trip. Our trip, we saw 6 national parks, just shy of 4,000 miles on the road, a snowstorm, a hailstorm, countless bugs on the window shield. It was lots of fun. But I bought this right before we left because of a couple of reasons. One, I'm old school and I like paper. I'm not a Luddite, but I don't love technology. And plus, there's something just neat. I would say something that is, there's not much more exhilarating than going down the highway at 80 miles per hour. Trying to do that, right? And I don't want to hear comments about Chicago-born drivers. It is 80 miles per hour down there, out there on the highways. But I also bought this because I knew that we would run into trouble if we only relied on our GPS and cell phone coverage. There's multiple days that we never, ever had any cell phone coverage. Just put it in airplane mode. Might as well, right? Use it as a picture taker. And there were many times where at night I'd look at the map and scout ahead. There's many times where I'd look, pull over, and I did pull over sometimes, didn't just do this, and kind of see which route would be best to take. And there is one particular stretch of a few hundred miles that one of Eli's favorite songs came on the playlist, Life is a Highway, right? And so that was stuck in my head for a few hundred miles. But as I'm thinking about that, I'm thinking about my map that I bought and thinking about the road ahead. I realize that that song is wrong. Life isn't, it's not a highway. It's more like a country road, a back country road. There's a bunch of bumps. Sometimes there's a dead end. There is a bunch of twists and turns. It's not like a highway that's smooth and flat. No, there's, you never know what's coming in life. And you never know what's coming in life. And a lot of times you need something that you know that you can rely on, something that you can run to. Because I fear that too many Christians nowadays, we rely on our cell phone coverage, right? We rely on the GPS. We rely on our pastor that we can go and ask questions to. We rely on the Google search of where is that Bible verse? We rely on maybe the articles or YouTube videos or podcasters that we listen to that give us good spiritual advice. And all those things are good and can be good, but ultimately they are no substitute for the Word, are they? Really, this was, we'll call it a light to my path and a lamp to my feet when I didn't have cell phone coverage, right? And the Word, it's just that. We need to know the Word. We need to have it permeate our heart. We need to soak in God's Word. And the more that we know it, the more confident we can be on the road that life produces for us. And there will be ups and downs, there'll be twists and turns, and there'll be things that just take your breath away. Things that you look at and you say, I just don't know how to communicate this, what I'm feeling. There are things that I'm encountering in life that leave me speechless. And on our trip, there were many things that left us speechless. I gave you a couple here, put up a couple of photos for you. Maybe. That was cool, right? Really right there next to the road. Saw many, many animals, by the way. That was beautiful. I was on a hike. I took that picture right before Eli asked me for the 10th time to pick him up. Carry him on my shoulders. This is the Grand Canyon of Yellowstone. Just breathtaking. I stopped and stared almost for 5-10 minutes just looking straight at that. It's incredible. Old Faithful. Grand Tetons. Double Arch. Things that make you just go, wow. Right? Things that just make you go, what a creative creator we have. This last one really struck me. So this is the Badlands, as you'll see here. It's literally just grass prairie that gives way to this land that's bad. It's falling apart. It's crumbling. You pick it up and it all just kind of disintegrates. And I think about this picture, and I think that there are times in life where you are right there on the edge, and you're looking out, and it just looks like everything is a mess. It just looks like it's bad land. It just looks like you're speechless. Words fail to describe what it is that you are trying to communicate about how life feels, about how you feel. You just don't know what to say. You don't know what to do. You certainly don't know what path to take. You search God's Word and you find stuff that is helpful, but you're still confused. There's still things in it that you don't quite understand. And it's like you're just sitting and standing on the edge and looking, and you just don't know what to do next. And thankfully, the passage that we're going to look at today, it gives us a huge amount of hope. A huge amount of help. It reminds us that when we don't know what to do, say, or where to go, that the Holy Spirit Himself is there as our great help, as our great comfort. So if you have your Bibles, would you open up to Romans chapter 8? In Romans chapter 8 so far, we have seen some incredible truth. We recognize that you and I, we have the Holy Spirit of the living God dwelling within us. How cool is that? Like, I showed you all those pictures and they're breathtaking, and we were looking there, and that's really neat. But those things pale in comparison to this truth that you and I are temples of the living God. That you and I, if we are in Christ Jesus, then the Holy Spirit resides in us. If we are in Christ Jesus, that means that you and I, we are free from condemnation. And in chapter 8, we're looking at this awesome, incredible truth of the Holy Spirit's help and comfort for those who are in Christ Jesus. We see that you and I, because we believe in Jesus, because we're in Christ Jesus, because the Holy Spirit is there as our seal, and our assurance of salvation that you and I, we can go to the Father and we can cry out to Him. And He listens. And He cares. And He's there. We get to cry out to our Father God, who is as close as we could ever imagine. Then we keep reading in chapter 8 and we see that creation itself, along with us, is literally groaning under the weight of this sinful, fallen, dark, dreary world. I look at those pictures and I think about the things that we saw and I say, wow, this pales in comparison to the new heaven and the new earth. This is a fallen world, and wow, isn't it so beautiful? It's amazing to think that even creation is groaning under this current fallen state. And in chapter 8, we recognize that we are in a unique and really incredible spot, that even under the weight of this sinful, fallen state, even in the midst of our groaning, even in the midst of our pain, even in the midst of our speechlessness for life circumstances, we still have a God who is there and who cares. So we're covering two verses today, verse 26 and 27. Verse 26 says this, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness." Just going to stop on that first sentence for a moment. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. I read this and I hear the word helps us, and I'm immediately reminded of John 14, 16, where Jesus, He's gathering the disciples, He's talking with them, and He says, listen guys, it's better that I leave and send the great helper, the great comforter here, because here I am, I'm with you within the flesh, but He will dwell inside of you. And it's better that I leave so that He comes. And when He comes, He's going to be a great help. He's going to be a great comfort. The Spirit of truth will lead you in all truth, in all righteousness. He's going to bring to remembrance the things that I've taught you, the things that I've given you here in the Word. And so you, maybe, you're thinking, Josh, that illustration at the beginning with the road map, that was really good, but I'm not good at reading maps. I don't know north from south or east from west. There are multiple times where Ashley and I was helping her. I said, never eat soggy waffles, right? It's how you remember your directions. So maybe you're sitting here and you're saying, yes, the Bible is good, but I don't fully understand it. I'm a novice when it comes to reading maps. Here's the really cool thing. In that same chapter, John chapter 14, where Jesus promises the help of the Holy Spirit, He says to the disciples and all who would come after them, He says the Holy Spirit Himself will guide you in this truth. The Holy Spirit Himself will bring to remembrance this truth that you have a responsibility. The responsibility that we have is to hide that truth in our hearts, so that we may not sin against Him, right? But the really beautiful thing is if we connect that with what Paul writes to the Corinthians, we see that the Holy Spirit, He illuminates the Word of God. And so for the natural person, the natural man, this is silliness. For those who are unsaved, this, maybe you can study it as a great work of literature. Maybe you can understand it and appreciate it as a work of art. But It just stops there. But for you and I who are in Christ Jesus, the spiritual person, the spiritual man, those who have been changed, who are no longer dead, but alive, the Holy Spirit, He has a work that He's doing in us to help us comprehend this. The theological term is illuminates. Literally opens our eyes to God's truth in His Word. And so when we read that the Spirit helps us in our weakness, that's just a small portion of the work that the Holy Spirit is doing. But again, please hear me, our responsibility is to hide it in our hearts. Our responsibility is to meditate on it daily. Our responsibility is to keep looking to God's word. Our responsibility is to grasp it and hold on to it, to study the map and to let it light our way. We get to that last word of the sentence. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. A lot of times we read that and we could probably think about our sin, right? We can think about how we are weak here in the flesh and we give way to temptation and we give in to trials and tribulations and we often fail the tests that we're facing. But the word that Paul uses for weakness, it's also found in a couple other letters that Paul writes to Timothy, to the Galatians. And that word weakness he uses to describe physical ailments or things that are going very disastrous situations. So yes, it could mean that the Holy Spirit helps us in our battle and struggle against sin. Please, that does. That is a truth, right? He gives us strength. We are to don the armor of God. But there are things in life that we encounter just simply because we're in a fallen world, right? There's things that we encounter in life that we recognize that these are difficult circumstances. Maybe they're physical ailments. Maybe it's like we read earlier in the chapter, creation groaning under the weight of this world. Under the weight of this fallenness. The Bible tells us that the rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. And so maybe you're sitting here and you're saying, I'm trying to follow God. I'm looking at the roadmap. I'm trusting in the Holy Spirit as He works in my life. But boy, life is hard. I don't know how I'm going to make ends meet. I don't know how that relationship's going to be fixed. I don't know what the political situation's going to work out to be. I don't know any of this. And it's scary. And I feel little. And I feel weak. I feel like I'm standing on the edge and all I can see is this bad land before me. Well, here's the really cool thing. Holy Spirit helps us in the midst of that weakness. The Holy Spirit is our great help and our great comforts in the midst of those trials and tribulations and ups and downs and different seasons of life. The Holy Spirit, He's there. He's gently guiding us, gently prodding us into more righteousness. He's there. Let's continue on. For we do not know what to pray as we ought. Can anybody say amen to that? Right? Never have somebody come up to you and they spill their guts. They just tell you everything that's going on in life and it's a hard situation and they're just being really vulnerable and you're just standing there and the only thing you can think of is, I don't know what to say. They're looking at you and they want you to say something and they're waiting for you to give them something that they can hold on to and nothing comes to mind. That's hard, isn't it? It's probably a lot harder when you're the one that has all these emotions and all these things and all these frustrations that you're going through and you just don't know how to put it to words. Or maybe you have put it to words. And you put it to words so many times that it just feels like you're just repeating yourself. It just feels as though you are just saying the same thing and it's just not working. Maybe you're praying to God that He would save your child. Maybe you're praying to God that He would heal a friend that is going through something terrible. Maybe you're crying out for years and for years and for years, and you get to the point that you've cried out and you've used all the words. You've flipped through your thesaurus and you found all the similar words that you could plug in there, right? And you get to this point and you say, God, I don't even know what to pray for anymore. I don't even know how to pray. Anybody been there? Maybe you're there right now. But I love the wording here. For we do not know to pray for as we ought. Seems though there is some specific way that we ought to be praying. Seems as though there is some specific thing or some specific way in which God desires us to be praying. We keep going, and there's good news, because in the midst of all the things we don't know, we can know this. But the Spirit Himself intercedes. Doesn't that feel good when you're trying to say something and the words just aren't forming correctly? And maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a brother or sister, just kind of puts their hand on your shoulder and says, let me take it from here. Isn't that nice? I love that when there's been many times where we're telling a story and I get lost in my story because I'm just going down so many different rabbit trails. And I'm trying to explain to something to someone really cool, and I start talking about something completely different, and I just feel Ashley's hand on my shoulder and says, hold on, let me tell the story. It's nice when you have somebody that can intercede for you, right? It's even better and best when it's the Holy Spirit of God, where it's God Himself. He says, hey, you are trying to pray to God the Father. Let me take it from here for you, because there are things that you don't even understand. There are things that you can't even comprehend. There's this guttural cry in your heart that you don't even know how and what to say, these words to put to. Let me take it from here. How comforting is that, folks? To me, that's everything. That's everything to say, yep, okay, I'm resting in my Father's arms. I think this will be my last illustration from the trip right now. But Eli was a little concerned about bears. We saw a lot of bears, a lot being four, but that's a lot, I think. And we saw bears, and he was a little concerned until I told him that it was going to be okay, that the bears weren't going to bother us. I had this bear spray. Okay. But what if they like the bear spray and that doesn't push them away? Well, buddy, you go to sleep right here, and I'm sleeping right next to you in this tent. And we got this tent to protect us, right? And if there's a bear, do you think that the bear can get past me to get to you? No. Okay, good night. That was easy. 5-year-olds. Folks, in life, there's going to be stuff that bombards us and attacks us, and there's going to be things that we're scared of. But do you think that there's anything that could get past the Holy Spirit to get to us? Do you think that He who is without, He who is out in the world, do you think that He is really greater than He who is within you? I don't think so. Because it seems like we recently read that He who is within us is greater than He who is in the world. But the Holy Spirit Himself, He intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. This word groaning is a little interesting as we look at it and think about that word groaning too deep for words. There are some who have said that this passage gives some sort of proof for a heavenly language that can be muttered or mumbled. And I don't see that there. Instead, what I see is that when we read that the Holy Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. This word groanings, we've already read the word groaning multiple times in relation to what the creation itself does under the weight of this fallen world. It also can be closely related to the word that we see in chapter 8, still the same chapter, verse 15. That we read that we who are in Christ Jesus, we have the right, the ability to cry, Abba, Father. This guttural cry, this guttural groan, this thing that comes from deep within us that we can't even put words to. It's too deep for words. It's just something in our soul that is just moving, and we say, God, there's just something in my life that I don't know how to face, and I just want to give it to you. And the Holy Spirit himself, he's the one that is interceding for us. He is the one that is allowing us to have groanings that are too deep for words. Verse 27, listen to this. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. That's pretty cool. Check out the Trinitarian language here. And he, talking about God the Father, who searches hearts, our hearts, knows what is the mind of the Spirit. The Father knows the Spirit. And therefore searches our hearts. Why? Because we are in Christ Jesus. So if you ever feel alone, if you ever feel lonely, if you ever feel like you can't face tomorrow, you certainly can't face today, know that God the Father, because of God the Son, and through God the Holy Spirit, he's got your back. He's on your side. He's holding you. He's literally interceding to himself for you. That's crazy. That's incredible. This is a truth that should make us leave here skipping and leaping because of how awesome it is to be known by God, to be his. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints. Intercedes for the saints. These are not a list of old dead people. He intercedes for the saints. That's you. That's me. That's believers in Jesus Christ. Those who are in Christ Jesus. Remember, this whole chapter is in light of the context of that first verse in the chapter. That you and I who are in Christ Jesus, those who are in Christ Jesus, are now under no condemnation. And if you are now under no condemnation, that means that you have been justified by faith in Jesus Christ because of what he has done, because of who he is, because he left heaven to come to earth to live a perfect, spotless, sinless life, to be the perfect man of the law, to do what you and I could not do, to please God. And in his pleasing God, he lived this perfect life and became the perfect sacrifice, the spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And as a perfect substitute in our place, he faced the wrath of God. He faced the wages of death, of sin, which is death. He died so that you and I could live. And that's what makes sinners saints. And so the Holy Spirit himself is interceding on your behalf, saints of the living God. He is interceding for you because you are no longer a sinner, you are a saint. You are no longer of the world, you are separated to God. Called to be holy and set apart. Called to be sanctified. And if you are in tune with the Holy Spirit, you are being sanctified right now because you have been justified. And in the future, you will be glorified. Interceding for the saints, what? According to the will of God. He's not interceding for us to have happiness as we might see it. To have prosperity as we might see it. To have health as we might see it. He's not interceding for us to get everything that we would want. He's not interceding for us to be able to have a more comfortable tomorrow. He's not interceding for us to do and to have and to be the things that we might construct. The things that we think might be really important. No, he's interceding on our behalf. He's helping and he's comforting us. So that this would be in accord with, according with the will of God. God's will is not always what we think it should be, right? Because you're not God. Yay. There's many times in life, I lied. This is the last illustration. There are many times in life we're on the road, right? And we think we know what we should do. We think that this next turn will get us where we want to go, where we need to go. But there are many times where you do that and we quickly realize, nope, dead end. Nope, this is not where I want to be. Got to turn around. Going to make a quick 7-point turn on this narrow highway in the mountains. Not speaking from experience there. No, there are many times where you don't know and you have to turn around. There are many times where you think you are going and you're doing what you want to do, and then you quickly realize that what you wanted, that's not according to God's will. Because what you wanted is not good for you. It maybe tasted okay at the beginning. It maybe felt pretty nice at the start. But then you quickly realize, no, this leaves me empty. No, this doesn't satisfy. The only thing that satisfies is God and His will. The only thing that doesn't leave you empty is Him and His will. And so the Holy Spirit interceding on your behalf, according to God's will, is the best thing that you could ever hope for. Because when God is leading, when the Holy Spirit is interceding according to His will, it will lead you to places that are uncomfortable. It will lead you to places where you're looking and you're going, where am I? This seems very unfamiliar territory. This seems like something that I don't want this. I don't understand this. But rather than fight it, we should do what James says, and we should pray that our will matches God's will. We should pray that the things that He wants are the things that we want. The things He desires are the things that we desire. The way that He wants us to go would be the way that we are longing after. And that God's will would be a great joy to us. And maybe you're sitting here and saying, okay, this all sounds really good. But the last question would be, well, what is God's will? The next verse gives us a little bit of a clue, but the next verse is for next week. So you gotta come back. Because the will of God is for His glory and our good. So next week we'll explore what His glory is, what our good is, and how wonderful and comforting that is. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank You for this day that You've given us. Lord, we thank You for the Holy Spirit's work, His help, His comfort in our lives. Lord, I pray that You would cause us to rest safe and secure in Your arms, knowing that the Holy Spirit is guiding us, knowing that the Holy Spirit is interceding on our behalf, knowing that the things that we feel as though we can't even communicate with words, that You know, that You understand, that You're right there with us, that Your arm is around us, Your hand is on our shoulder, and You are the one who is in control. So Lord, when we face life's weaknesses, when we face life's sufferings, when we face things that we can't even comprehend, when we can't put words to, Lord, let us rest comfortably in the fact that You know what You're doing. That You have indwelled us with Your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray for Your will and Your way, not our own. Lord, would You bend and contort our will to match Yours? Would You make it so that the things You want, You desire, would be the things that we want and that we would desire? Father, help us to live for You, no matter what life brings. Let us rest in who You are and what You've done because of our great Savior Jesus. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.